Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Nelcast Limited Q1 FY23 post-results conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Annamalai Jayaraj from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks. On behalf of B&K Securities, welcome to Nelcast Limited 1Q FY23 post-result conference call. From the Nelcast management, we have with us today Mr. P. Deepak, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. S. K. Sivakumar, Chief Financial Officer. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Deepak for the opening remarks, to be followed by question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Annamalai. Thank you everybody for attending this call. We really appreciate your time. I'll just start with a quick overview of the, you know, quarter gone by. The quarter gone by, in terms of revenues was our second consecutive quarter in a row of record revenues. Our revenue from operations for the quarter was 295.2 crores. This compares very favorably with the same period last year, where it was about 185 crores. That is recording growth of about 80% on a year-on-year basis. Even on a quarter-on-quarter basis, typically Q4 is the best quarter of the year. In spite of that, on Q1, we have grown 10% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Exports continue to be one of the drivers for the company, as we have talked about in past conference calls. We recorded an export revenue of 72.5 crores, which represents a growth of 48% on a year-on-year basis and 33% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. This was broadly in terms of revenues, how things split out. On the M&HCV front, 38% of our total revenues came from the M&HCV, 31% from tractors. Exports was about 25%, and off-highway railways and others made up the remainder of the sales. This compares quite favorably to last year when we saw, you know, very low numbers in M&HCV. It was only at about 27% of revenues. In fact, last year's Q1 was led by tractors at 39.6%, and exports at 26.7%. I think one thing to keep in mind about last year's Q1, though, when we are comparing, is that last year's Q1 was impacted by the second wave of COVID. While these growth numbers do look good, we believe that, you know, a 60% growth might be a tough task to maintain through the year. We saw this growth coming from both volumes as well as better realization. Excuse me. We saw about what we were able to sell in this quarter was 20,158 tons was the net sales. We were actually able to produce 19,158 tons. There was about 1,000 ton of WIP that we converted into finished goods and into sales during the quarter. This was necessary, and I think this was something that was a good performance from the standpoint that we faced operational challenges because of the severe power cut that was imposed in Andhra Pradesh, as well as higher than normal summer temperatures, which impacted you know, productivities as well as health of employees. Looking forward to Q2, on the operational side, we've seen these challenges start to mitigate as we've gone through the month of July. The demand still seems to be reasonably strong. I think you know, typically Q2 has a higher demand than Q1. We don't believe that will be the case so in the current Q2. However, I think we'll be able to better fulfill the demand here. We are continuing to see, you know, growth in export led by new product launches that I had talked about also on the previous conference calls. I think this gives us much greater confidence that our performance in Q2 would likely be better than our performance in Q1. On the margins front, our EBITDA, what we were able to achieve was 23.3 crores. So this was achieved through a variety of methods. One was, of course, through the volume increase, which we did see. The second is this continuous increase in raw material prices had been abated since probably mid to late May after a government intervention through the introduction of export duties. So that is a positive trend that whatever we had seen in the first, probably the last 6 quarters of continuous commodity inflation seems to have moderated. And so we were able to only really enjoy the benefit of that for the month of June. So we hope that, material costs continue to soften as it seems to be the trend. And we hope that that will continue that way. So with that, we were able to achieve a PAT of about 7.8 crores for the whole quarter. That's briefly, where we are today. I'd like to open it up to any questions that any of you might have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir, and thank you for this opportunity and congratulations, sir, firstly on walking the talk, which the things which you were explaining to us over the previous calls are now bearing the fruits and those are visible in the numbers. Sir, firstly, a small understanding. You did mention that the growth of year on year is non-comparable. And it will not be repeated. That is the only point you are trying to say. And quarter two looks better in terms of the deliverable schedule as well as the margin profile. Correct? My understanding is correct, sir?
So I think, while we do expect strong growth to happen this year, I think 60% does seem to be much more challenging because of the challenges what we had faced in last year's first quarter because of the COVID second wave. So that helped bump that percentage up quite substantially for this year. But we do still expect to see good growth through the year. That's our expectation for the rest of the quarters as well.
Right. And sir, when we look at your raw material to sales percentage, it has remained in the same vicinity of 52 to 53%. Q1Q, as you have told that March is the strongest quarter. But is it the product mix that has resulted or the unwinding of inventory that has resulted in slightly higher profits Q1Q? Or what have been the per kg, sir, a bit per kg, if you could give that understanding? How did it play for March and the June quarter?
Sure. So if I look at on an EBITDA per kg of, if I look at it from a production perspective, right, EBITDA per ton of casting produced, the numbers for the first quarter come out to 12.16 rupees per kg. In the fourth quarter, it was 10.48 rupees per kg. So that's the the difference in these specific numbers. So in terms of the, how that played out between, material prices and other things. So material prices, we did see an increase in material prices happening in April and pretty much probably until the beginning of May, right? I think it was the first week of May or so when the announcement came in from the finance ministry regarding export duties and a variety of other measures to control commodity prices. So since then, we have seen some reduction that has happened. So I would say that any reduction activity, whatever we have seen, we have only probably seen it in the month of June in terms of the results. But if we take the last quarter as a whole, I think, and take the average of the raw material price for last quarter and compare it to the average of the raw material price for the previous quarter, they would be largely in line. I don't think there's any change really, right? So whatever increase that we saw happen through the last quarter, we probably saw that similar kind of a decrease happen in this most recent quarter.
So for this quarter, the trend for the raw material, if we take the average of the June quarter, will also be slightly lower since it has a higher base of May, higher prices of April and May.
Of April especially, right? April was a slightly higher.
Some reduction in the second quarter.
So yeah, so I think if you look at the current quarter, the quarter of July, right? July, August, September, then we will see the raw material prices, we believe, will have moderated. We've seen, you know, after they've moderated down, we've seen them stiffen up also a little bit more. But, you know, we are not anticipating, you know, the kind of, you know, increases what we have seen in the last, you know, it's probably 6 quarters or so that have just been very surprising and very unprecedented.
So on a base for the coming quarter, this 12 rupees 16 paisa, there's a likelihood of further improvement? Or is it more likely to maintain these numbers going forward?
So I it's a little bit difficult to, you know, put full numbers to it, but we believe that, you know, our goal would be to maintain this through the year, right? So, you know, perhaps, again, depending on how raw material movement goes, maybe some quarters might be higher and some lower, but I think for the year as a whole, I think we feel that it would be a good target to maintain this for the year, right? And I think that's the number that we had been talking about as kind of more of a short to medium term target.
And so what should be the likely full year tonnage what that we are expecting for FY23 on a ballpark number?
So again, I think it's challenging depending on volumes. I think if you had asked us last year about, you know, how tractor looked after the first half, we would have said fantastic. And then unfortunately, we saw the second half really crash. We believe, I try to give you some ballpark, but maybe that's somewhere around 90 plus thousand tons, I think, is what we believe that we should be able to achieve in the year, right? Hopefully better than that, but maybe I think that's something that's a little bit of a ballpark.
Yes. So one more point was, you mentioned about this electricity cut having an impact on your operation. So if you could quantify on an absolute number, what would have been the impact for the first quarter? And you have to buy from the grid, I think, at higher price. Or what was the impact? Did it affect the operational performance also, or was it only in terms of the higher cost of purchase?
No, so it affected the operations because it was a power cut. We did not have the option of buying more expensive electricity at that point of time. It was a restriction on how much of the maximum demand we could utilize. So that restricted how much castings we could produce out of our two plants in Andhra. So that that had an impact. But one of the things that we did do was, you know, we were with multiple lines running. We did some activities to make sure we could run on Sundays, as well as, of course, as I mentioned earlier, we did dilute some stocks as well from our work in process to try to push things through. If I have to say, you know, what might possibly be an impact, maybe it's to the tune of, you know, 5% or perhaps more we could have done in terms of the sales cycle, if not for that. But it's a very difficult thing to quantify.
Yes, but that is deferred only, sir. We will be able to make up for the same going ahead. And the situation has normalized now, and all the factors that affected these cuts are still may again crop up going again, or now monsoon in the annual, things look very different now?
So whatever were the challenges and the cuts, I think, were related primarily to coal, availability of coal, price of coal, variety of things. I think the necessary steps have been taken to ensure that is not repeated. We will have to see if whether next summer, due to the intense summer heat, whether, you know, the demand might shoot up even more and create some issues. But we are already preparing for next year's summer so that even if something like this happens, our impact will be minimal.
Right. And on the scrap price, sir, I missed your commentary. How are this currently the scrap prices trending post this imposition also? And also on the power and fuel mix, sir, what steps are we taking to reduce the cost? I think so the renewable energy sourcing on a pooling basis was also considered earlier. So on these two aspects, if you could apprise us.
So roughly speaking, from the peak price of steel scrap, right, which is our primary raw material, we've seen about a 7 to 8% reduction from the peak, right? The peak would have been, you know, end of April, perhaps would be the peak. So compared to that point of time, we're seeing about a 7 to 8% reduction in steel scrap, which is our primary raw material. Sorry, Saket, what was the second part of your question?
The second was for the power and fuel mix, sir. What steps are we taking to mitigate the higher cost of power and fuel? And I think the renewable energy sourcing, pooling of the availability of renewable energy, I think so, was also in the anvil. So what steps are we taking to improve our mix on power and fuel spend?
So I think from a renewable energy standpoint, I think one of the things that we are doing, you know, the first one that we talked about that we had implemented for our plants in Andhra Pradesh that came online in the month of January onwards. So we have some amount of renewable energy that is tied up, which is primarily a wind-based generation. We're in the process of having several more discussions with you know, other wind manufacturers or, you know, windmill providers who will you know, who will help us, you know, manage this cost better. The other part of it is, as we improve our production, I think as the efficiencies improve, which is what we expect to see in the upcoming quarters, we will reduce, you know, the number of units, right? So our efficiencies, as they get better in terms of our productivity, even our energy efficiency gets better. So we believe that should also help us bring down the cost of energy.
Okay. And anything on the anvil for the land which we hold in our subsidiary, wherein we will be looking for any solar installation or a monetization of the land, any steps we have going forward?
The update is largely in line with what we have talked about last time, right? So I think we are evaluating all the options, including, you know, evaluating if there's a, you know, good buyer available for who would be interested in that asset. And similarly, you know, we are also evaluating, you know, whether a small, you know, solar unit is something that would be beneficial for us. So we're looking at a variety of options, but I think the update is largely in line with whatever was there last quarter.
So do we have any proposal as of now? Do we have any proposal or an offer from any of the parties who are intending to set up or to provide us a payout for the land, or are we still evaluating? Because that would make a difference. The proposals are there and you are evaluating the proposals, or you are evaluating the situation of what would be the best step to go ahead.
So I think we are evaluating, I would say probably somewhere in between the two points what you're making. We are evaluating certain proposals, you know, that would look at it as a group captive under a, you know, group basis. The other one is also, you know, we are open to, you know, evaluating a sale of the asset, but I think for us to get value from the asset, perhaps it might be a couple of years to get a better value from the asset, considering the development that we anticipate will take place there in the next few years.
Yeah, thank you, sir. And Shiva sir, if you could give me just the net debt level and how have the cash flow been for this quarter, whether there is an increase in the inventory and inventory, I think it is diluted. How are the cash flow fared for this quarter and what the net debt level?
The net debt is about 220 crores as on 30th June 2022. So on the working capital cycle, yes, we are expediting the receivable side, because the more and more export we do, automatically you know that the receivable period also will go up. But anyway, we are managing better to improve the receivable cycle.
Okay. What's the receivable number, sir? Any ballpark number you can share for?
No, right now our net working capital cycle is about 60 to 65 days.
60-65 days for the whole entity, domestic and export?
Yes. Total.
Right. And Deepak sir, about the MHCV segment, I think so you very categorically mentioned that how we opened the last year with tractor, and you guiding us that quarter one would be heavy from the tractor side, and that is very much evident in your revenue mix. So going ahead, how is the CV cycle going to play out? And also for the export front, if I'm not wrong, I think so you spoke about some order from the FedEx part also, wherein they were looking for some EV-operated buses, wherein we will be providing some axle. Correct me there, I'm just having a faint idea of what you spoke earlier in a call. So just correct me there, and what is the update on the same? What is the size of opportunity on these buses? I think so, solar run or EV run. So, if you could throw some more light on the same.
So on the EV products, yes, Saket, you know, we have a couple of products that we have been awarded. So this is goes, the end customer for this is General Motors, and they've made, you know, they've got a large order from FedEx for those, for these vehicles. These are delivery vans, not buses, specifically delivery vans for delivering packages and things like that. So that seems to be coming along. We have our first product will go into production in the next couple of months here, and we have one more product that will go into production perhaps another 6-8 months down the road. So we have a couple of products that are lined up for launch that will go into the electric vehicle and more specifically, the EV, the vans, the delivery vans, which seem to be make a lot of sense to convert to electrification, right? Because a lot of these vans, you know, there's a central place that they will always come back to at the end of the shift or the end of the day. You know, there's a certain radius that they cover, so it seems to be a very good fit for electrification. And there seems to be very strong demand from what my understanding, what I read in the news, that this particular vehicle that GM is going to start producing at their plant in Canada from January, they've already sold out their entire 2023 production to, you know, various customers. So they don't have any production slots left in 2023. So that's indicative also of very, very strong demand for that particular product. So we hope that that will continue. You know, we will, and, you know, it's, I think, our first big step into components for the EV segment.
So what would be the-
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Kumar.
Yeah, I'll come in the queue, ma'am. Yeah, I'll come in the queue, and thank you for this extended opportunity. I'll come in the queue for the follow-up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Dhiral from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and congratulations for the good set of numbers. So we are seeing, you know, energy crisis in Europe and other regions. So do we foresee any shift of casting business, you know, to Indian player like us?
Dhiral, yeah, I do believe. See, I think there's two parts, right? I think one is, you know, what people believe might be temporary, right, which is a substantial increase. And the second is what will be more permanent, right? So I think the temporary increase is significant, extremely significant, right? I think energy costs in Europe have probably surged, you know, three or four times compared to, you know, the pre, compared to, let's say, either pre, whether you call it pre-COVID levels or whether you call it, you know, pre-war, pre, you know, Ukraine war levels, right? So compared to that, probably three to four times the energy cost has gone up. The question that people are trying to figure out and answer is, you know, once things stabilize, which we don't know when it's going to be, but once things stabilize, but I think everybody's pretty clear that there is likely to be, you know, even if it's not three or four times, it's likely to be a 30% or 40% increase in energy costs, in kind of the permanent state if they want to, if Europe wants to get away, from, Russian gas. Right? So I think that is, something that, in my view, in the next 3-4 years or, 5 years, will drive, a good amount of, revenues for us coming from Europe. I believe that there's a lot of potential there, and I think in the next few years, we will see that potential to also start to translate into numbers.
So do you think this is a long-term opportunity for us, right?
Certainly. I believe the energy costs going up in Europe is a good long-term opportunity for us. Europe, to be honest, was also a lot more competitive in terms of pricing for castings in comparison to North America. So now I think this is going to eat away on that competitiveness that was there previously.
Okay. And so what was the utilization of the incremental capex that we have done in September 2020, the utilization of that plant?
Unfortunately, because of the power cut that impacted that plant as well, I think we were trending towards 25% is what we would have expected it to have been. Unfortunately, because of the power cuts and all of that, we were only able to achieve about, I think it was 15% if I recall correctly. Let me just see if I can pull up the numbers. Yeah, about approximately, 15% or so was our capacity utilization. We would have hoped to have had that closer to 25, but I think, some of these power cut issues prevented us from being able to do that.
And so have you launched any new product as we are planning to launch, three new products in FY23? So have you launched any new product till date?
Yeah, we've launched some of the new products that go into the export market. Domestic market, of course, there's a lot of, new products also that we are launching, but some of them will obsolete the old products as well. But in terms of the export, yes, I think one of the products that we are going to supplying that will go to the, class 8 trucks in North America, that has already been launched. With some customers, there's been some increase in share of business, and therefore, the numbers what we have seen for the quarter of 72.5 crores or so of export has come from that. Some more products are yet to be launched. They will be launched over the next 2 quarters. So we will see, I think, continuous growth in exports going forward in the upcoming quarters as well.
So if you can repeat, what was the amount, registered in the export market from the new product? I missed that figure.
Sorry, Dhiraj, can you repeat your question?
So what was the amount that we have booked from the new product in the export market? You just said it, I missed the number.
I unfortunately don't have that specific number with me, but I would say, from the new products, it is, maybe something in the tune of about 10 crores or so will probably be coming from the new products. And some amount came from increase in volumes on existing products also. But I don't have the exact data with me. I'm just estimating that it would be roughly about, maybe 7 to 10% of our export sales came from new products.
Okay. Okay, and so lastly, so we are, maybe we are hearing that recession in US and Europe. So do we envisage any kind of a slowdown in the export revenue going ahead?
So I think, we've got enough, new products that we will bring on and that we will launch. So the one thing that we believe is, today if you look at, the supply chain situation, whether it was semiconductors or whatever, that has been there for the last, 12 to 18 months. One of the things that happened is there's a significant backlog of orders that has been built in the system. So we don't anticipate any kind of a slowdown in demand, perhaps for the next, 12 months or so. And I think perhaps even into all of 2023. Beyond that, we can't really see the picture whether it will, on exactly how it will be. Even the top economists seem to be divided on the recession and how severe and all of that. But what we can see right now is perhaps for the next year, and the numbers seem to be quite strong. Our hope also, and what we're doing with all the new product launches that we have coming, that even if there's a slowdown in existing products, the new product launches that we will be doing will, fill in that gap that might be there.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, some basic questions first. Is that sequentially our tonnage is lower? Q2 tonnage is marginally lower than Q1?
Okay, so on a sequential basis, I'll actually give you the, from a production standpoint, yes, it was sequentially, it was a little bit lower, as I mentioned, that was because of the power cuts, but actually on a sales number, sequentially we are higher. So our sales tonnage for the fourth quarter was 19,389, and for this first quarter was 20,158.
Okay.
So
the second question is? Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, go ahead, Chirag.
The second question was, how much of this steel scrap pricing benefit will be retained by us? Because we will have a pass-through arrangement with the OEM, right?
Yes.
So is there that there is still a way to know that we can retain some of those benefits?
So the pass-through that we have with the OEMs is, you know, based on a quarterly average formula is typically how we pass it through on the increases or decreases. So, you know, there is a lag effect that is there that we will, you know, get to at least temporarily benefit from if there is hopefully continuous reduction of raw material prices.
Okay. But I presume that they have not given you a complete pass-through, so you could at least ask them to the initial benefits could be retained by you. Is that the way of looking at it, and then the normalization process starts?
Yeah. So, whatever is the reduction that we're, so actually, if you look at the way that, you know, Q1 worked out, we saw, you know, increase in raw material prices in April and, you know, pretty much to the first week of May, and then we started to see some reduction, right? So if you look at it as an average, there was not significant difference between, you know, the average of Q1 and the previous Q4. We believe Q2 will be at a lower level, so there will be some lag that will be there in the pass-through. I think, you know, the challenge in trying to renegotiate all of these is that you never know which direction it will go in, right? So if you try to gain something for a benefit right now, it might hurt you in a different way in the future. So I think we prefer to try to stick to the established norms as much as possible unless there is something really, some existential crisis that comes out.
So lastly, I had a question on other expenses. If you look at the absolute run rate, now it has stabilized at around 76 crores. So how should we take into account the inflationary impact? Because even in this quarter, now it's only a one-quarter data, so sequentially our sales is higher, but our other expenses are largely flattish. Or it is more into production, that is how we should look at it. And excluding power, because power is understandable, the movement in power.
So other expenses, I think, when you look at is, you know, related to a couple of things. One is, you know, related to, maybe some outsourced machining activities that we might be doing. The other part of it would be, you know, other, parts that are contracted out, and one such, activity is taking, right? So there are certain, parts of activities that are done, by our subcontractors on a job work basis for us. This is what is coming there. So I would expect that to be largely, you know, in line with the tonnage. In case our machining, you know, quantity goes up substantially, which it might, as we supply more and more machine products and, you know, all of our exports are going in machine condition. So in such scenarios, then you will see it both come into the top line and the bottom line. So, I think, you know, that is largely a variable cost, whatever we are seeing in terms of these other expenses that you're observing in the P&L.
No, this is helpful because sequentially there is a significant reduction as a percentage of sales over there. Given that the cost, that the other expense line item is largely static and our revenues have seen a significant jump, which is a commendable thing, and that's why we're inquiring whether this trend can continue or not. This is helpful, sir. So lastly, slightly strategic question on the export side. Now, as you indicated, there are mixed reviews. Is it possible to indicate that revenue contribution of the products that you have launched in last 12 months in overall export? Is it possible? Do you track internally like that? Because that is what will be most immune to any so-called recessionary risks or slowdown risks. That's my first. Is it possible to understand that new products that you introduce on a rolling basis, how much they contribute to your revenue?
We don't track it that way, Chirag, to be honest. I mean, we look at it as an overall basket, and we're seeing the overall basket grow. Because in some cases, it might be new products, and in some cases, even on existing products, we have been awarded additional share of business, right? So we don't distinguish between these two. But perhaps we can take a look at that, and try to dig up that information.
Yeah. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Bhargava Padney from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My question has been answered, but just a broad-based question on exports. So just wanted to know, you have told that for the next 12 months, your order book for Europe, exports, everything is good. But just on the recession thing and all the order backlogs that have been like decreasing in Europe, how do you see those risks going forward, given that your exports is a major share of your revenue?
So, exports are, you know, a growing share of our revenue. I think right now, as I said, about 25% of our revenue is coming from export. And yes, you're right. I mean, there is a lot of, talk about recession, due to a variety of reasons. Different economists have different views on whether they believe the recession is going to be short and soft or a hard-hitting recession. I think in general, the consensus seems to be that Europe will be hit more severely by the recession, mainly because of the impact of the current state of relationship with Russia, and the sanctions seem to be hitting them as hard as they're hitting Russia, or perhaps even more so with what Russia is, how Russia is controlling the gas flow into Europe, right? So there are, various economists who have differing views. I'm not qualified to, talk about that particular subject. That's not my area of expertise. But, I do believe that our exports will continue to grow. I think, if Europe does get hit we do believe energy costs will go up. But the second part of it is potentially if they do get hit with a more severe recession, I think there could be also some bankruptcies within our industry, being an energy-intensive industry. I think there could be some companies that are teetering that might not survive the next few years. That might create more opportunities again in the medium to long term. So I don't want to make any predictions for the future, but this is how I see a potential situation in Europe play out. Now, majority of our revenues from our export is actually coming from North America. And in that scenario, I think most people do believe that the U.S. is likely headed for a recession, but a fairly mild one. And it seems like the Fed's objective is to make sure that they can get inflation under control by trying to, create some breathing room between, the supply and the demand side, which has gotten overheated. Again, I don't know how severe it might be, but I think we would be in a reasonably good position to handle it. And I think the auto industry specifically, whether it's commercial vehicles or passenger cars, with the backlog of orders, hopefully, by the time that the economy is recovering from recession, the backlog is cleared out and, the situation normalizes. So I think I have more hope and positivity message than I do in terms of having a very clear picture of what might likely happen.
Yeah, thanks. And just on the raw material side, you had said that 7-8% reduction in the scrap, which is your major raw material. Just any other raw material that you are seeing an increase of yours, or all your raw materials have seen a decrease? Can you just throw some light on that?
I think steel scrap is between 7-8% what we've seen the decrease. Most of the other raw materials, I mean, I think there's two things, right? One is they only form a small percentage of our utilization. The biggest chunk is coming from here. The other part of it is we're seeing some small reduction even in other alloys, right? So, but again, I think in the overall picture and what we have as a formula with the customers, many of these are already, part of that same, pass-through formula that are there.
So most of the hit has been taken in Q1, or do I see a lot of hit coming in Q2 also?
No, I don't see that there'll be any hit in Q2. And in Q1 also, honestly, we didn't really have much of a hit. Like I said, we had a hit in April and we had a benefit in June. So more or less it cancelled out, I would say, maybe a marginal benefit that we may have gotten in Q1. But Q2, we don't see any hit, right? We see potentially... if there is that lag in pass-through, perhaps there's some upside that might be there in Q2, temporarily.
Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Amay from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Just a couple of questions from my side. So, like you know, you mentioned that you have a strong visibility for a strong demand for at least this year, and now that all the three engines are fired up in terms of MHCV, exports and tractors. So how do you see your volumes ramping up over the next three quarters?
So I think we do believe that we will see, you know, growth in this quarter in terms of volumes, right? I think on a, you know, perhaps sequential basis, you know, we would expect to see perhaps, you know, at least a 10% growth in terms of volumes on a sequential basis. And, you know, that's what I see right now. You know, while we expect, and, you know, overall, I think I'd already mentioned when Saket had asked the question, I mean, that I think we should be doing perhaps something around 90,000 tons or so for the whole year, right? Perhaps a little bit more if all goes well. I think there are a few variables and X factors that we need to understand. I think the bigger, the challenge that we, that seems to be a little uncertain, there seem to be a lot of positive signs. You know, production numbers for tractors are good. But I think the only thing giving us a little bit of caution about tractors is, you know, what happened last year, where everything looked good for the first half and then just collapsed in the second half. We don't anticipate that that will happen this time around, but, you know, it makes us a little cautious in trying to, you know, be very aggressive with the numbers that we're putting out to you. So, but we do believe that, you know, this will be a pretty good year, and I think certainly this upcoming quarter we do believe, or the current quarter that we're currently in, right, July, August, September, something that we believe will be a quarter that will, you know, keep the trend going of in the right direction of increased production.
Okay, so basically sequential increase approximately of 10% for the next three quarters. That is what bought.
I would say at least, you know, certainly for this quarter we are seeing that sequential, you know, we believe that we should get at least a 10% sequential on this quarter. I think next quarter we'll have to see how, depending on how the tractor industry turns out, but, you know, our goal, as I said, I think we should be, if we continue along that path, you know, 90,000 tons this year would certainly be something that we believe that we should be able to exceed.
Okay, great. So, in terms of tractors, how many months or quarters visibility do you have currently?
Sorry, can you repeat the question? I didn't understand.
So, in terms of tractor demand, what is the visibility that you have? How many months or quarters?
So, what we are seeing is in the current quarter, we see very good strength. I think we will see growth in the tractor segment also, which is typical. This is the peak from a seasonality standpoint. This is the peak seasonality up till perhaps the end of October or so will be the peak seasonality for tractor. So we are seeing very good visibility up until then. I think, you know, November onwards, we don't really have too many projections on what is anticipated. And to be honest, I don't even think the OEMs really fully understand what will happen post-November. But up until September, there is very strong projections and numbers that we are being guided to by our customers.
Okay, got it. If I heard it correctly, so your volume impact was to the tune of 5% due to the power issues in Andhra Pradesh, right? So basically 1,000 odd tons you lost because of the power issue.
Yeah.
Okay. Sir, in terms of EBITDA per kg, you know, 12.2 for this quarter comes on the production basis, basically. So, sir, shouldn't we calculate that on the basis of sales volume instead of production volume?
So, I think the reason why we typically do it on production volume also is because of, you know, the typically in terms of how the costing works, the fixed cost gets spread over the, you know, production volume, right? So, that's typically why we've done it that way in the past. And I think that's why we continue to do it that way.
Delta stock also.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. So, this... 12 rupees EBITDA per kg number that we are targeting for the full year is on the basis of production, right?
Right, but I think largely speaking, you know, for the full year, we expect production and sales to be roughly in line. You know, we don't believe we will see significant increase or decrease in stock that will happen through the year.
Okay, so for the full year, I think 12 looks reasonable. So just two questions from my side more. What is the ideal export share that we would want, sir, in the medium to long run, considering the fact that, you know, it will reduce the seasonality, cyclicality of the business?
So I think a number of, you know, 30 to 35% is something that, you know, which is roughly a third, right? So I think that's something that we would feel very, very comfortable with. Obviously, if the opportunities are there to grow more domestically or the opportunities are there to grow more in exports, I don't think we would shy away from those opportunities. But I feel, you know, to be able to balance out the cyclicality of the domestic market, whether it's M&HCV or tractor, I think 35% or so would, 30 to 35% would be a good number to be at.
Okay. Just lastly, on the delivery ramps that you spoke about of General Motors, so they have got the order to supply some of the castings to them. And as you mentioned that the whole of 2023 production has already been sold or booked. So how does this typically work? So since we got the order can we expect that probably, you know, for all the delivery vans, we'll be the only supplier for those castings?
So for this particular model that they're launching, for all of the vans, for that particular component, we will be the supplier. There's another new product that will get launched in the following year, in mid-2023, and there's a different product on that vehicle that we will be the only supplier to. That's pretty much all the visibility that we have today, but on these numbers. But it looks to be make a lot of sense for, the guys who are doing, you know, delivery within a certain radius to move to electric, and these vehicles seem to be, you know, in quite good demand.
Okay. Got it, sir. That's it from us. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. Sir, regarding the buses part, what kind of casting requirement will be there per vehicle in kg terms?
You're talking about that electric...
Yes, sir. Van.
So the electric van right now, for the... model that we're talking about that will be launched in the next month or so. It's about 17 kilo roughly per vehicle is this product and we will be supplying.
And the size of the order we have from them, that's the total order book is?
I think for this particular vehicle, their projection is somewhere between 27,000 and 30,000 vehicles a year.
Okay, and we will be catering to the entire thing.
Right. Yes.
Right. Sir, the finance cost, sir, is also a line item that also needs some rationalization. I wanted to understand: is it our business model shaped in a way that we will be coming up with finance cost of 6 to 7 crores on a quarterly basis, or we are looking for even reduction on this front, sir?
So I think finance cost will be largely in line with whatever we saw this quarter. That's what we anticipate for the rest of the year. Obviously, you know, there are a variety of other factors, including rate hikes by RBI and subsequently passed on to our banks, that might impact it. But I think finance costs we expect largely to be in line with what we saw last quarter. What I think I'd already mentioned this, our endeavor is to try to, as we will be paying down roughly, I think, about 30 crores or so of term debt in the current year. And however, you know, with the increase in exports and other things, we believe that we will be adding about 30 crores or so of working capital. So all in all, I believe finance costs should be, you know, largely flat and in line for the, you know, for the next 4 or 5 quarters or so.
And what should be the maintenance capex for us for this year?
So I think the maintenance capex that we will be looking at is probably somewhere around, you know, perhaps about, 12 crores or so, I think is what we're looking at. We're looking at a fairly minimal maintenance capex for the current year.
And sir, I think for the new unit part you did spoke about earlier also, that aligning with product certification, how is the new line going to contribute for the remaining? How have been the utilization level for the new line at Pedepada for Q1, and what are the expected utilization levels from the unit going ahead, sir?
So as I mentioned, I think in Q1 it was only 15%, which was unfortunate. We expected that number to be closer to 25%, because of the power cut, we were a little bit limited in terms of what we could do for a couple of months. I think our goal would be to bring that up to about 45-50% capacity utilization by the end of the financial year. So by Q4 we would like to be at about 45-50% capacity utilization on that line.
In tonnage term, can you give the number? What was the number for this quarter from the new unit contribution from them?
I have the precise tonnage, Saket, right now in front of me. This roughly you can calculate this out.
Okay, so the increase in volume which we are expecting going ahead, and this 90,000 tonnage which we are expecting, there will be a good contribution from the new unit, and therefore the margins will also be better, as you have told that it is a more mechanized and the cost are lower there. Is it a good understanding?
So, Saket, I think there are two things. We expect that the increase in volume will happen in, largely in two places. One will be our Gudur plant, where we've recently completed, the modernization project in the month of March, right? So there, because some of these, a lot of these export products we're talking about will be produced at Gudur. So we will see better utilization coming out of Gudur as this new modernization project where we put in a new automated line and replace the old manual line. So we will see some improvement coming out of our Gudur plant. In Pedaparia also we will see some improvement coming, but the improvement we will see in Pedaparia coming will be more because of, better absorption of fixed costs. As you said, there is more automation. But a lot of these products, what we are producing, as I may have mentioned earlier, we are producing this for the first time, right? So these are large, heavy products that, in the history of our company, we've never produced, right? So we are now in a position where we are now ramping up those products, and certainly it will take us, a little bit of time to, have everything fully stabilized and operational at peak performance. But certainly we believe, in a kind of probably medium term to long term basis, right? Perhaps, 3 to 5 years, that this plant could potentially be the most profitable plant that we have. I think we've, at least the way that we've envisaged the plant and designed the plant, we certainly believe that potential exists.
So at peak capacity, sir, what should be the revenue capacity? It is far away, sir. 3 to 5 years is a long time, and then it's cyclical business, and then again the disruption from technology. There are many variables to it. So looking that into account, what have been our investment? I think 170 crore we invested in the new facility for setting up the facility.
Both lines together in total in the Pedaparia facility, investment was 250 crores.
Right. So going ahead with what we are telling that at optimum levels or at the peak utilization levels, what kind of revenue, taking today's price into consideration, would we can envisage going ahead? And when will we start seeing these things on ground? When will the exact numbers will start flowing into it? since 3 to 5 years is a long time to take into account.
Like I said, Saket, I think, you know, our goal is by the end of the financial year, you know, we'd like to be at that, you know, 45 to 50% kind of number. You know, a 45 to 50% kind of number on what is a, you know, 60,000 ton capacity, you know, is roughly about, you know,
20,000.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe let's call it about 25,000 tons or so per, or somewhere between 25 and 30,000 tons per year. Right, and roughly speaking, you know, we believe, you know, say, it's hard to put a number to it right now, but based on current things, maybe even at 150 rupees a kg average, I think that would work out to perhaps something around, you know, 400 crores or something in that ballpark, right? So roughly speaking, that's what we see, the run rate perhaps what we should be at by the end of the year, or, you know, so we hope.
Okay. And
sorry to interrupt, Mr. Kapoor. May we request that you return to the question queue? There are participants waiting for their turn.
Yes, ma'am. I will return. And thank you, sir, for all the elaborate answers, sir. I'll join the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amay from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Just one follow-up question, sir. You mentioned that because of the power issue, we lost 1,000 tons. And basically, at the new Pedagogia plant, the utilization could have been 25%, but it is 15%. So basically, 10% shortfall and 1,000 ton shortfall. So can you just help me connect the dots? Where am I going wrong?
So the 1,000 tons represents would represent perhaps both Gudur as well as Pedagogia units. So not just because both were impacted by the power cuts. So that would be roughly, you know, I would say perhaps maybe around 500 tons or so in each place, roughly speaking. Maybe slightly, maybe a little bit more, but, you know, because we were able to dilute 1,000 tons of stock, maybe that, you know, that would have been the other part of it, right? We would have actually produced that additional 1,000 tons also. So in terms of a sales impact, perhaps, you know, that's what we believe.
Okay, so assuming that we lost 500 tons at Pedagogia, and we lost 10% utilization. So then then it comes to 5,000, 6,000 tons capacity. I am still not able to get it, sir.
No. So it is not just Pedagogia, right? The loss that we're talking about of, so if you look at, you know, Pedagogia, the capacity utilized, the total capacity, whatever is there, right?
Mm.
The capacity that's there in Pedagogia is actually 60,000 tons a year.
Right.
Right. So if I divide that out into a quarterly basis.
15,000 tons.
It's about 15,000 tons or so.
5% on tons.
So.
Yeah, got it, sir.
750 tons, right, approximately.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. I think, you know, we've closed the books on Q1. We're quite optimistic and really looking forward to what Q2 holds. I think, you know, a lot of the things that we've been talking about for the last few years and working on, you know, seem to be coming to fruition, and so we're excited to continue on this journey. We really appreciate your time, you know, to get to know us, as well as, you know, ask the questions, which clearly show that you've been tracking us very closely and following us, and we really appreciate that. And we look forward to continuing the conversation next quarter. Over to you, Annamalai.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities India Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.